lost count and started counting again. One round with Jose Cuervo. I went two rounds with Jose Cuervo. Three rounds with Jose Cuervo.
Oh, give me the
five.
We're here because you're here. Shopping locally and listening locally. On your radio, smartphone, computer, and tablet. Real Country, 1430 AM stereo. WRDN. Durand, Kellogg, Stockholm. And 107.3 FM. Translator, W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump has told his attorney general, Pam Bondi, to unseal the grand jury testimony in his case. But the question is whether that will be enough to satisfy what many of the president's supporters have been asking for. ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House.
The attorney general says she plans to ask the court today to release this grand jury testimony, but that could take time. These transcripts are usually highly protected. And even if this request succeeds, it falls short of what Trump's critics are demanding. So the bottom line here, the president is trying to tamp down this backlash, but it's still not clear if it's going to work.
The House overnight voting in favor of pulling back about $9 billion in federal funding that had been earmarked for international aid and public broadcasting. That follows Senate passage of the same bill, which is now headed for President Trump's desk. A new medical diagnosis for the president, chronic venous insufficiency, a condition where the veins have trouble moving blood back to the heart, often causing swelling in the legs. This is ABC News. A man in New Jersey was killed this week when he was struck by lightning in an archery range. He is the 12th person in the U.S. killed by lightning this year. But as ABC's Jim Ryan reports, historically, that's a very low number.
Since 2017, an average of 16 people die every year in the U.S. from lightning strikes. 2016 saw an unusually high 40 fatalities. But look back a few years and you'll find that from 1940 to 1944, the annual average was 390. Thunderstorm forecasting wasn't as accurate as it is now, and during World War II, more people, military and civilian, were outside during inclement weather. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
At the start of last night's show, Stephen Colbert announced CBS would be ending The Late Show in May of next year, bringing an end to late-night TV for CBS altogether. The network insists it was a financial decision not related to Colbert's recent criticism of the settlement with the network and President Trump over a 60 Minutes piece. This is ABC News.
What's on your summer wish list? More beach days? Endless pool parties? No matter how you're soaking up the sun, Macy's Summer Favorite Sale has top designer looks for less. Swimming cover-ups from Ann Cole, LaBlanca, and more, 40% off. For the guys, new trunks from Calvin Klein, Tommy Hilfiger, and lots of others, 50% off. Plus, get half off kids' swim shorts and tees, too. Get ready for summer fun. Hurry into our Summer Favorite Sale, happening now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Our daughter, Jessie, loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective, too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network, I'm Ted Aylin. The second of two girls who nearly killed a classmate to please the fictional character Slender Man will be released. Waukesha County judge approved a release plan for 22-year-old Morgan Geyser. Then 12-year-old Geyser, along with then 12-year-old Anissa Weyer, repeatedly stabbed a classmate in 2014 to please an internet urban legend. Drought conditions the last couple of summers and a wet summer so far this year could be to blame for an uptick in mosquitoes. UW-Madison entomology professor Susan Paskowitz says more rain and higher temperatures extending later into the summer could draw out the mosquito season. And a new exhibit detailing the events of D-Day opens today at the State Veterans Museum in Madison. The exhibit is a traveling piece that'll be staying in Madison through the rest of the year. Museum curators are adding several stories from Wisconsinites who were on the beaches of Normandy. Tad Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Ready for an unforgettable summer experience? Join us for 1 week endless possibilities as EAA AirVenture Oshkosh returns July 21st through the 27th. Explore thousands of aircraft, experience world-class daily air shows, two night air shows with fireworks that light up the sky, and celebrate the spirit of aviation with people from around the world. Get your tickets now at eaa.org/tickets and join us for the world's greatest aviation celebration.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunshine to start today, then increasing clouds. A nice day to be outside, highs in the mid-70s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms developing tonight will have lows in the mid-60s. Saturday looks like a nice day, partial sunshine with highs in the upper 70s. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower at 800-329-4115. Right now, it's 64 degrees.
Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Good morning. I'm Brian Winnikins, and joining us this morning is Wisconsin 10th District State Senator Rob Stafholt. I think I said that right. Boy, I knew I was going to do that. We had a chance to, the senator was gracious enough to join us this morning to talk about the situation with Klein Hall and Klein Hall closing in Chippewa Falls. That's the facility for homeless veterans here in really the northwest part of the state. And Senator Stafholt, thanks for Stafholt, right?
You bet. Stafholt.
There we go. The H. I got to put this H in there. Stafholt. There we go. So let's talk about this. So I guess I've had over the last few days so many folks either stop me on the street or stop at the station or give me a call or send me a text. And they all have kind of the same question. Why? Why did this funding get turned down?
Sure. And, you know, and it's a great question. I think let's just back up a second and talk about the joint finance process. You know, I'm new to being on JFC this year, which was quite the learning curve in general. However, what happens generally is the governor puts out his proposed budget sometimes in February. And all of those proposals are kind of like the perfect wish list. If the governor had his way on everything, that's what would pass. And then the Joint Finance Committee travels around the state doing in-person listening sessions, and we hear from the constituents and the people around the state as to what their concerns are. And then we get to work putting together the state budget from a massive amount of requests and input and needs. And all of that kind of is a big process. I like to tell people it's essentially 300 bills put together in one bill. And it's a little bit of a complicated process. Now, on this particular joint finance process this year, which I think is a little bit unique, is the leadership in both the Assembly and the Senate, along with the governor, entertained some negotiations as we went along the way. And I think, you know, that worked in a bipartisan way. And I think that in the end, we got to a spot that all of those parties could live with, but it also stepped outside of the traditional role of JFC handling all of that. And the reason I bring that all up is because traditionally things like the Veterans Affairs folks and the groups and the associations that represent them come to joint finance members and say, hey, this is what we need for this project. This is what we need for that project. And someplace like Klein Hall would come and say, boy, we're really having a tough time. Here's our financials. Here's what we do. Here's the Wisconsinites that we serve. And this is really what we need from the state budget in order to continue to be able to provide those services. And we look at that, and honestly, sometimes we make hard choices. In this particular case, you know, the governor put some proposals in his budget. And then through the process, I'll be honest with you, I had not heard from anyone representing that Klein was in financial duress, that they had any budget requests. Like, I even went back to make sure that I didn't miss it. My office keeps track of all of those interactions and every budget request and all the budget meetings we have. And there's literally hundreds of them. And we didn't have one contact on Klein, unfortunately. So that being said, is they kind of didn't engage in the process. Not to throw any blame or whatever, but they weren't on our radar of hundreds of budget requests and things that were being entered in or taken out of the budget. So unfortunately, they kind of weren't on our radar as far as I'm concerned from the Joint Finance Committee.
Okay, so this comes out, the Joint Finance, they released their thing. Now it's time for everybody to vote on it. Okay, but in things like this do happen. Things get missed. Totally get that. But yep. There was a bill to fix it. And only one Republican, Senator Jacques from Green Bay, voted to say, oh, we made this mistake. Let's put that $1.9 million back in because we didn't see it. And okay, this is going to be a problem. So I'll go back to my question. Why didn't you vote for it then? Fix the mistake.
So I'm not aware of a budget motion that was put in that we voted on.
Senator Smith was the one who introduced that. Senator Smith introduced a budget request in the Senate. This is not the new bill that he just released. According to Senator Smith, during the discussion and the debate on the budget, he voted or he submitted this amendment to go ahead and put the $1.9 million back in that Joint Finance had zeroed out, and it failed, and only one Republican voted for it, and that was Senator Jacques from Green Bay. And as Senator Smith said on air here just a couple days ago, well, I can understand why Senator Jacques would do that. He's losing his facility in Green Bay and that kind of, you know. So I ask why.
So let's make sure we're not confusing two things, because Senator Jacques is not on the Joint Finance Committee, so therefore he wouldn't have voted for anything in the Joint Finance Committee. So let's make sure we're not confusing a budget motion for the budget versus a standard bill that's coming forward and is probably still in the process.
This was after Joint Finance had submitted, here's the budget assembly, here's the budget Senate. The assembly's got to vote on it, the Senate's got to vote on it, then the governor signs it. So during your debate of the budget, after Joint Finance has been done, everything was done.
The budget is done.
The budget is done. Now we're voting on it, yes or no. And you can make amendments. Senator Smith made that amendment to put that money in back into the budget, put it into the budget. And again, he only got the one vote from a Republican.
Sure.
And that was Senator Jacques. And again, I've had listeners ask me, I'm not trying to be combative. Please understand that. Ran into somebody going to the mailbox today who's a veteran going, why didn't they vote for that when it was in the Senate to fix the mistake? And so I'm passing along this veteran's question. Why? Why didn't you vote for it?
I understand your question better now. So once the budget is done and Senator Smith puts in a bill and it comes to the Senate floor to get voted on, the budget is already done and the money is spent and that money is locked in. And unless Senator Smith had an appropriation put into that bill, it would have been an unfunded bill.
Okay, Senator Smith now has just introduced, along with Representative Ernst from Eau Claire, a bill to put money back in $1.9 million. Now, if there's a session let's say everybody agrees to come back to fix this, would you vote for it?
Yep. Well, each bill looks different, and I would absolutely, for starters, I 100% support our veterans, and it's unfortunate sometimes if veterans get caught up in the politics of the day. So I want to make it clear that I support veterans, and as a community, as in a state, as in a nation, we need to support our veterans that fought so hard for us. So I am on that, I'm on that bandwagon. But to ask me what I would vote on a bill that's not in front of us yet and I can't see the specific language, it wouldn't matter what that bill is. I always wait to see the specific language and make a decision at that time.
Talking with Wisconsin 10th State Senator Rob Staff Schult. Hey, I think I said it right this time. about the situation with Klein Hall. Senator, I know that I think it's Senator Marklean, I get all of the titles a little bit, but you know, some from joint finance have come out and saying, well, we gave them a 15% increase for this program for WDVA, but from WDVA, they're telling me this was a legislative, this was a segregated appropriated adjustment. And it was for about $100,000. And it was really for costs of the last 2 years. So is it kind of disingenuous to say, well, we gave them a 15% increase, because it's really not for this coming budget, it's for the last budget?
So my understanding from my notes that I got together before I called you here is to make sure that I knew what the legislature did this time. And one of the things that we did is provided $40 million in new support, or excuse me, in support to new and existing veterans programs. And that includes a $100,000 increase in Veterans Housing and Recovery Program, which is the overall overseeing program.
Okay. Now again, going back to joint finance. So you get legislative fiscal bureau notes on a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah, a lot of it, not everything, but a lot of it, but we can ask for stuff.
Okay. Sure. So in this request for the 1.9 million, there was a legislative fiscal bureau note, and they said, if the program doesn't actually get $3 million, even though the request by the governor was 1.9, but a legislative fiscal bureau said, if they don't get $3 million, they can't run all three locations. And so, and I get it that these budgets are big, these budgets, there's all kinds of things going on. But I guess, again, for my listeners out there, they're like, what? We couldn't do this? And again, I hope you understand. Again, I think it's fundamentally wrong to put veterans in the middle of this. This partisan finger pointing, I think, needs to just stop. But can you understand the frustration from people saying, you know, one, the initial request was $1.9 million, which is nothing, and the actual request should have been $3 million, again, which is, in the terms of the state of Wisconsin budget, is nothing, and it's not like it's going to some new thing that, you know, this isn't a luxury that we're going to spend $3 million on. This is something we should be taking care of our veterans, period. There should be no partisan. This should have been just like, let's get this done.
Right. Yeah, and I don't necessarily know that it was a partisan issue. And like I say, most, if not all, of my colleagues support funding and supporting our veterans. And I think a proposal in the governor's budget is different than a request. And I don't know that anybody made a request to the Joint Finance Committee. I think it's abnormal for a request to come in where somebody from Klein doesn't come to the JFC members and say, hey, this is our request. Here's why it's important. Here's why we need you to support it. We had no interactions at all from anybody from Klein. We had no veteran service organizations come to the joint finance members and say, hey, this request is in. It's a priority for us. This is important, and here's why. We had no individual veterans or constituents contact me or my office as a joint finance member saying, hey, Klein's in trouble. They've got a request in. Can you please support that because it matters to me and my fellow veterans? None of that happened at the same time that hundreds of other requests are coming in and people are having meetings with us explaining why it's a priority.
I think
hindsight being 2020, had someone come into my office, and I take every veterans issue extremely sternly and importantly, if somebody would have came in, I can just tell you that my JFC staff and my office and my overall staff would have made sure that was a priority that I saw repeatedly and that we worked on, especially when it has something to do with, you know, it's not in my district, but it's in our area, our region of the state. I fight super hard to get money and dollars back up north out of Madison, Milwaukee, and back to our half of the state. So the fact that it was a request in this area would have made top page on my important issues list. We've also reached out to Senator Jesse James's office, and that's actually his district, and he said that nobody had reached out to him or his office. Jesse James has done a fantastic job not being on joint finance, but advocating for his district, the Chippewa Valley, Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls. He had many budget requests that he advocated for and came and had meetings with us on mental health and a wide array of substance abuse issues and a lot of things for the Chippewa Valley that he made requests for, and he said he was unaware of the need either. So it's hard for us to fix a problem if we don't know there is one.
Again, talking with Wisconsin 10th State Senator Rob Staff Schultz this morning. Senator, and I understand that maybe in joint finance, but I still have to go back to the Senate budget debate. From Wisconsin Radio Network, we have Republican Senator Andre Jacques on the floor. And he said, quote, this has been a top during the debate for this proposal to restore the funding. Quote, this has been a top priority of mine legislatively for several sessions now. It's certainly been my top budget ask. I've talked to too many veterans that this would mean too much to allow them to, that this means too much to for them to allow to stay in their homes and communities, quote unquote. Again, sure. I get it. Maybe the committee themselves didn't do it. And I get it that maybe someone from DAV should have been there. Okay, fine. But that seems like it's a cheap out. No offense. And I think I have listeners right now saying that that's a cheap out, especially when this was brought up during the budget debate. And I get it. Well, then it's not funded. Okay, you can't. I mean, I don't know how it all works. I will admit that. But you mean to tell me we couldn't have? Okay, well, it's not funded. We have to, let's just do this here to fund it before we vote on the budget. We couldn't have done that in 10 minutes if everybody is all supportive of helping out the vets. I would think that everybody would have said, oh, man, we just made a terrible mistake. Wait, this isn't technically funded. Let's change it right now. No one could do that? No one?
Yeah, and here's what I'll tell you, is it would be fantastic if veterans issues were not a partisan issue. But I can also tell you, and sometimes I'm a little too blunt probably for my own good, but the budget debate on the Senate floor really doesn't change the budget. The governor and the leaders of both houses had come to an agreement that was a bit fragile, like any big changes one way or the other. And I'm not saying that's a big change or whatever, but it was already kind of agreed on. This was the deal. There was a lot of things in there that Republicans and my colleagues and I didn't like, but had to swallow in exchange for some of the things that we did like that, quite frankly, the governor didn't like and had to swallow. And so that agreement between leadership and Governor Evers dictated kind of how that budget was going to go. And I'll just be honest, you rarely, if ever, will see me speak on the Senate floor. And the reason why is because it doesn't matter. And I know I'm not supposed to say that, but debate on the Senate floor is not necessarily debate. By the time it gets to the Senate floor, the decisions have been made.
Wow. That's incredibly sad, but that's incredibly sad. Okay.
That doesn't say that there's not oodles and oodles of debate prior to that. I mean, my door's two doors down from Jeff Smith's door in the same hallway. He never came to my office and said, hey, this is important. I'm going to bring it to the Senate floor. Can we do something about this before it gets to the Senate floor for the final vote?
Sure. And again, I still think it's pretty sad, though, that it to me, and again, I guess I've had listeners, you know, come to me. And again, I'm not talking as a reporter. I'm talking as a state resident. Wow. I wish everybody would just put the politics aside and, you know, let's be at least cordial and try to work together. At least we're in the same part of the state. I remember a time.
And I'm going to cut you off there, because I don't think that that's the case, is that that's what happened. What I'm saying is the debate on that and the nonpartisan or even the partisan agreements and the negotiations and the things they happened prior to getting on the Senate floor. So the governor, like I say, he negotiated a lot of things in there. I know Dianne Hesselbein, the Senate minority leader, was involved in negotiations. Both Republican House leaders, Voss and Devin Lemieux, were involved in that. So there was legitimately probably the most bipartisan negotiations on this budget that I've been a part of. It just happened prior to being on the Senate floor. And I know everybody can get hung up, and your listeners out there are listening, well, shouldn't that be Senate debate? It's 6 months to get to that point. So 99.9% of the debate happened prior to getting to the floor that day. And Jeff Smith, quite frankly, is just using that as a political marker to talk on shows like this.
Talking with Wisconsin 10th State Senator Rob Staff-Schultz this morning. So now let's just try to move forward here. What do we do to fix this?
So my understanding is there's some balls in motion to get working on that. I know my office is talking with Jesse James's office, who's the great senator from the Triple Valley there that's been working on a lot of these issues. And we will continue to come up with ideas and figure out what to do. I know that none of those homeless veterans will be displaced. I believe I read that there was 23 of them there, and that we've worked through the channels to make sure that everybody's got a bed at a different facility in the meantime until we can figure that out. So I can commit to the fact that we're going to work on it and make sure that everybody is taken care of. Maybe not in the perfect manner, maybe not in the same bed they were in, but we're going to make sure that our veterans are taken care of.
I know that from, according to DAV, at least as of yesterday, only three from Klein Hall would go down to Union Grove. And part of the reason that it's only three is because the rest of the folks at Klein Hall, they have a local support here in the Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, Western Wisconsin area. And they don't want to lose, if they lose that family support, this could make things a lot worse. So,
absolutely. And I don't want to jump subjects on you, but that's one of the reasons that myself, along with several other legislators from the area up here, work so hard on Chapter 51 holds, is because we take those people who are having the worst mental health day of their life from the Chippewa Valley or St. Croix County or northwestern Minnesota or northwestern Wisconsin up against the Minnesota border, and we load them up and we take them down to Winnebago outside of exactly that circle of support that you're talking about. So I would say that the Chapter 51 process has been the issue I've worked on the most since I've been elected, with the least amount of success. The last thing I'd want to do is add homeless veterans to that same process. So we will continue to work on that and find solutions.
Is time of the essence? Because like I said to Senator Smith in the interview, and he goes, well, we'll keep working on it maybe in the fall session or the spring session. And I said, the spring session doesn't work. This isn't Nevada. In the winter, it isn't 50 degrees here. Spring doesn't work. Frankly, fall doesn't work. Before September possibly works. Do we need to just have everybody? I get it. It's August recess. I get it. I want to see you at the Dunn County Fair and the Pierce County Fair and all of that. But I think there's something a little bit more important to get done in Madison right now. Shouldn't you guys be getting back down there and let's get this done now? It shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be, frankly. It just shouldn't be. This should be the easiest vote. If everyone says they support the veterans on both sides of the aisle, this should be quicker than gaveling in and out of one of Governor Tony Evers' special sessions that he calls. That it should take almost as quick as that, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should. So I'm looking at my notes here, and it says the traditional housing for homeless veterans living in the Chippewa Valley region. The Department of Veteran Affairs says that the 23 homeless veterans currently residing at the Klein Hall will be offered different housing options. It does not tell me a timeline on that, but I will follow up with that to find out what the timeline is.
Yeah, when I talked with the assistant deputy administrator, I think I did that right, Joey Hoey, he had told me as of yesterday there were three from Chippewa that were agreed to go to Union Grove, and the rest they were trying to find spots for them. And I think that's where you're getting the 23 from. But I just think that, from what folks around here are saying, this is, you know, this shouldn't be this tough to do. I mean, to get done. Shouldn't, I mean, it really shouldn't.
Sure.
So, you know, hopefully you guys can get this done. But again, Senator, I do appreciate you taking some time. I know that these aren't easy topics to talk about, and it's no fun when the guy on the other end is kind of grumpy. Part of it's because me, the grumpy guy, has gotten a lot, you know, there's a lot of concern for this. And I have been personally to Klein Hall in the past to do some volunteer work. My partner, she used to work there way back in the day. And so I kind of have a little bit of a soft spot, especially for those folks that are really down on their luck for whatever reason, that are veterans. And now, you know, we should be doing something to make sure we take care of our own. But I do appreciate you joining us. Will you be...
So, go ahead. To that point, if it's got the soft spot in it, and obviously you've got the voice there, did you advocate for that prior to the ending of the budget, or is it just are we just reporting afterwards?
I will tell you, I'm reporting afterwards because I didn't know that the funding was one being cut. And the
so
first,
you and I are in the same boat.
So the first I heard of it, I will tell you, the first I heard of it was on Tuesday when I received a text from a friend of mine who basically said they're closing Klein Hall. And I'm like, what? No, they're not. They'd never do that in a million years. Now, I get it. I get where you're going. And I understand that you didn't know, but you did know. There was a budget debate in the Senate, and Andre Jacques talked about it. And again, I understand how these things work. I understand what you're saying, but I can't, you know, I blame the governor as well, because you know when I got the first press release from the governor? On Tuesday.
Yeah, Monday.
No, on Tuesday, yeah. When this all was starting to break, when LSS and the DAV were telling employees and the veterans. So the governor's just as much at fault here. I'm not going to, you know what, that guy doesn't get a pass in my book. The other part of it is the governor's ask wasn't even enough to keep all three locations open. So that's, you know, and frankly, Senator, the governor hasn't talked to me. I don't know why, but well, maybe I do know why. But frankly, it should have been $3 million. And frankly, even the proposal that's coming from, because Senator Smith sent a press release that him and Ernst were submitting this bill to get the funding restored. 1.9, don't cut it. That baby ought to be amended to 3 million. Period.
Yep.
Period. And we go from there. So I know where you're going. But kind of time out, because frankly, this is something that should have never happened. And again, I understand this is how the Senate works, and this, and I get it. I get exactly what you're saying. My point is I think it's very sad that this is how this works. I get the debates, the behind the scenes thing. You got to make compromise. That's how compromise works. I understand all that. But when there's a glaring, blatant omission, especially in this case, you know what, Wisconsin State Senate, I think you maybe need to, this should have been a 5-minute thing of, oh, we made a mistake, let's fix it right now. And I don't, you know what, I don't think the agreement you guys had and the governor had, that wouldn't have torpedoed this agreement. If it would have, that again is even sad. So, you know, that's the frustration from someone like myself, not just because I'm a reporter. That's the frustration I'm hearing from people on the street.
Sure.
They're very frustrated. And
from my perspective, and I understand both your perspective and theirs, but try to think of from my perspective, I get hundreds and hundreds, if not a thousand requests and people that meet with me with budget priorities and funding needs and all kinds of things. And nobody came to me and talked to me about this and like had no idea there was even a need. During the budget process, I've gone through the records on my office because we keep track of every constituent contact and every group contact. So far, we've had one email to my office about the Klein Hall, and that was after Tuesday. Obviously, people are talking about it, so they basically sent email saying, hey, what's up with this? Nobody prior to that I know that Andre and Smith did something on the Senate floor. You know, that was one of hundreds, if not thousands, of things that were talked about. But if nobody from my district or from our region of the state tells me, hey, this is a priority, I guess it's hard for me to advocate for that if nobody tells me that's a priority. And I understand that at face value, we should always support our veterans and always do the things they need. But if I didn't know about it, I didn't know about it.
All right. Well, Senator, again, I do appreciate you taking some time this morning to join us. That is 10th State Senator Rob Staffschultz. You're listening to WRDN.
The real deals come from Durand Fresh Market, and they can be found online. Download the Fresh Market Rewards app and sign up to have weekly deal alerts sent right to your phone. Find digital coupons and specials and earn reward points every time you shop at Durand Fresh Market. It's easy to use the app. Just add coupons and scan the app at the checkout. It's that easy. Visit the website at shopfreshmarkets.com for the latest weekly ad, extra national coupons, or to make product suggestions. Your hometown grocery store is Durand Fresh Market, downtown Durand, and online at shopfreshmarkets.com.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care, plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
1430 AM and 107.3 FM. Real Country.
A full moon shining bright, edge of the water, we were feeling all right. Back down a country road, the girls are always hot and the beer is ice cold. Cadillac, horns on the hood, my buddy Frankie had his dad hook him up good. Girls smile when we roll by, they hop in the back and we cruise to the riverside. Never gonna grow up, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. We were doing it right, we were coming alive. Yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Blue eyes and auburn hair, sitting looking pretty by the fire in a lawn chair. New to town and new to me, her ruby red lips was sipping on sweet tea. Shot me a look like a shooting star, so I grabbed a beer and my old guitar. Then we sat around till the break of dawn, howling and singing our favorite song. Whoa, never gonna grow up, whoa, never gonna slow down. Whoa, we were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa, we were doing it right. We were coming alive. Whoa, yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Whoa, oh, never gonna grow up, ha, never gonna slow down. We were shining like lighters in the dark in the middle of a rock show. Whoa, we were doing it right. Whoa, we were coming alive. Whoa, yeah, caught up in a southern summer, barefoot blue jean night. Barefoot blue jean night, a barefoot blue jean night, a barefoot blue jean night, a barefoot blue jean night.
Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Jake Owen and Barefoot Blue Jean Night. Join us next week. Dunn County Fair is coming up next, as we'll have the dairy, beef, and swine shows from the Dunn County Fair on our video streaming service. We'll also have the livestock auction as well. Dunn County Fair start next week, running through the weekend in Menominee. Time for, you know, more funnel cakes and... I better not go on the tilt-a-whirl, just saying. Let's run down today in history for this July 18th. happy birthday to the United States Army Signal Corps. Founded on this date in 1914 with six, count them, six biplanes. Of course, it would later become the United States Army Air Force, and then after that, it would be taken away from the Army and become the United States Air Force. 1921, Babe Ruth achieved 139 home runs and became the all-time home run leader in Major League Baseball. And that was in 1921. Now, of course, his home run record would stand for a very long time until a player by the name of Hank Aaron came along and said, "Wow, look at that. Here, hold the beer and the hot dogs. I got to go hit." Yeah, you bet. 1927, Detroit Tigers baseball player Ty Cobb recorded his 4,000th career hit. He was the first player to reach that mark. Happy birthday to the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile, completed on this date in 1936. Yeah, it, of course, promotes Oscar Mayer Wieners and, of course, the song, you know. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer Wiener. Or the Oscar Mayer Baloney song, too, right? 1940, President Franklin Roosevelt was nominated for a third presidential term. He first had taken office in 1933 as America's 32nd president. Also, in 1976, 14-year-old Romanian gymnast Nadia Comăneci earned a perfect score of 10 on the uneven parallel bars at the Olympic Games. It was the first 10 ever given in the event. I actually remember as a kid seeing that. She went on to win three gold medals and a silver medal and a bronze. 1994, Crayola announced their introduction of scented crayons. They were scented, and yes, I was one of those kids back in the day when I was little. I like to eat the red crayons. Never tried one of the scented crayons, though. That's what happened on this date in history. Coming up, we have a check of our opening markets. They just opened up a little bit ago for the regular trading day. Have the early numbers for you. Market update being brought to you in part by Wisconsin Farm Technology Days and Elsevia Co-op.
From blazing heat to pounding rain, your crops are facing it all. In-season aerial applications are the perfect chance to apply fungicides and stress-reducing products that help your crops stay resilient. And don't forget the hay. Haymaker delivers the nutrients your forage needs for high-quality, healthy growth. Apply after cuttings 1 and 3 or 2 and 4 and set your fields up for success. Questions? Visit Elsevia.com or call 608-819-4401. Elsevia, they're here to help.
Milk markets are mixed with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk up 22 to 17.94, September up 4 to 18.31, October down 2 to 18.64, November up 7 at 18.63. Meanwhile, live cattle markets, they are higher in the nearbys, lower in deferreds. Feeder cattle are lower across the board. Hog markets are mostly higher. Now, while there was some strength in the cash markets, about a dollar higher yesterday, there wasn't a lot of trade. So the trade is really going to be watching that boxed beef prices on the cattle side here throughout the day. Hog futures continue to reduce the losses as traders are gaining confidence to buy the break. August live cattle up 60 cents to 224.27. August feeder cattle down 45 cents to 324.55. August hogs up 30 cents to 106.12. Chicago Board of Trade, corn, soybeans, and wheat all moving up mostly higher today as the markets move to new highs for the move yesterday, and that has triggered chart and technical buying. Also, the trade is entering weather premium back into the market as weather models are hinting a high pressure ridge in the southern and southwestern belt, and there could be hot, dry weather here coming up over the next few weeks. September corn up 6 3/4 to 408 3/4. New crop up 7 1/4 to 428 1/4. New crop beans up 14 to 1040 1/2. September wheat up 14 3/4.
You're invited to Clinton Farms in Bear Creek, August 5th through the 7th for this year's Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, celebrating generations of progress with a chance to explore cutting-edge equipment, innovative technology, taking a glimpse into the next generation of agriculture. There are also scheduled dairy tours and field demonstrations, hundreds of industry booths, and great family entertainment. Be there August 5th through the 7th and bring the whole family to this year's event. For more information, visit wifarmtechdays.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Sunshine to start today, then increasing clouds. A nice day to be outside, highs in the mid-70s. Scattered showers and thunderstorms developing tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-60s. Saturday looks like a nice day. Partial sunshine with highs in the upper 70s. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower at 800-329-4115. Right now, it's 66 degrees.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
She was staring out the window of their SUV, complaining, saying, "I can't wait to turn 18. She said, "I'll make my own money and I'll make my own rules. Mama put the car in park out there in front of the school." And she kissed her head and said, "I was just like you. You're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this." Before she knows it, she's a brand new bride in her one-bedroom apartment, and her daddy stops by. He tells her it's a nice place. She says, "It'll do for now." Starts talking about babies and buying a house. Daddy shakes his head and says, "Baby, just slow down. 'Cause you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look around. You may not know it now, but you're gonna miss this. He says, "They don't bother me. I've got two babies of my own. One's 36, one's 23. It's hard to believe, but you're gonna miss this. You're gonna want this back. You're gonna wish these days hadn't gone by so fast. These are some good times. So take a good look. Everybody's got a summer that they can't forget. They hold on to and go back to. Your mind's on the Carolina coast, still burning in my mind like a red sunset. Chasing embers till September, what I remember most. Bottle rockets in the sky, bare feet in the sand, bonfire in her eyes, cold beer in a can, moonlight on the waves, her kiss in the dark, the smile on her face when she'd make me break out of my guitar and play. Feel her fingers wrapped up in mine. Can still hear her laughing, see her dancing. You're making more than that sundress bed. Who says you can't go back in time? Yeah, when that song, it comes on, I'm on rewind and I'm 17 again. Bottle rockets in the sky, bare feet in the sand, bonfire in her eyes, beer in a can, moonlight on the waves, her kiss in the dark, the smile on her face when she'd make me break out of my guitar and play.
Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Scotty McCreary, Bottle Rockets, 9:52. I'm Brian Winnikins, and join us for NASCAR this weekend. We're at Dover, and we have coverage tomorrow of the Bet Rivers 200 starting at 3 o'clock. And then on Sunday, it's the Auto Trader Echo Park Automotive 400 starting at noon. An update on the Florida Python Challenge. This is your last weekend. If you want to go to Florida and try to capture pythons, no thank you. The event is held each year to help Florida battle the invasive Burmese python. Last year, they estimate nearly 200 pythons were removed from the Everglades. So if you're into snakes, like Brianna is, my daughter, she thinks snakes are cool. Yuck. There you go. Better road trip to Florida.
Brand is your authorized Whirlpool dealer. Reputation, quality, pricing, and personal service are what Shaw's customers have come to know and trust. Shaw's offers a full line of Whirlpool appliances, including dishwashers, microwaves, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers, with installation and service. Clean, cost-effective propane offered by Shaw's is the answer for your home energy needs. Visit Shaw's Gas for all of your propane and Whirlpool appliance needs. Shaw's Gas, downtown Durand.
You've got so much glorious summer to fill. What are you going to do with it? Easy answer, do it your way at MOA. Do it up with Nickelodeon Universe's Ultimate Summer Party, Dora's 25th Anniversary Celebration, slimy fun events and hair-raising rides. Do Crayola Experience for the littlest ones. And here's a bright idea. Do it smart with MOA attraction bundles and the no-worries 72 degrees and sunny forecast every day. That's your summer, your way at MOA. MallofAmerica.com.
Stars and Stripes and Summer Nights during the Dunn County Fair, July 23rd through the 27th in Menominee. Hear the roar of the engines at the Red Cedar Speedway with late model racing Thursday and Friday night and the NTPA Tractor Pull on Saturday. Enjoy the great fair food and all the rides with Spectrum Carnival. Don't forget about all the animal exhibits, too. It's rides, food, animals, and fun during the Dunn County Fair, July 23rd through the 27th in Menominee. Save 45% on all wall decor and 35% on spring and summer clothing all next week at the Cottage in Durand. Plus, join the Cottage for the Crazy Days sidewalk sale on Thursday and receive additional markdowns on all items outside. The Cottage is open Monday through Friday from 9 to 4. Save big during the Cottage's Crazy Days sale all next week at the Cottage, downtown Durand.
If you have unfiled taxes or are in debt to the IRS, this is important news. Did you know the IRS has programs specifically designed to help people struggling with tax debt? Powerful tax assistance programs that can save you thousands if you qualify. No one knows these programs better than the experts at Optima Tax Relief, America's most trusted tax resolution firm, A-rated by the Better Business Bureau. Their award-winning team of tax attorneys and licensed professionals have resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. One call to Optima can start the process, helping to end your worries about wage garnishment, asset seizure, and other IRS actions. Make sure you're getting the best options to solve your tax problems. Call the experts at Optima today for a free confidential consultation.
Call 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522. 800-707-4522.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Real Country. Real Country. 1430 AM, 107.3 FM.
Just a little bit south of Saskatoon. Pick my guitar for a boarding room. Met a little girl, her name was June. A little bit south of Saskatoon. Me and Junie Mae, we got on fine. Till I had to move on up the line. Promise that girl I'd be back soon. A little bit south of Saskatoon. Went up to Nome to see the sights, Paddy in to watch the northern lights. But I had my mind on my sweet June, a little bit south of Saskatoon. So I caught a freight and headed back, traveling down that railroad track. Kept thinking of my honeymoon, a little bit south of Saskatoon. Me and Junie Mae got a little house, got a piece of ground and a few milk cows. Gonna get a young'un soon, a little bit south of Saskatoon. In the winter time when we can't farm, me and Junie Mae sit arm in arm. By big old fire and honeymoon, a little bit south of Saskatoon.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM, WRDN. Sonny James, a little bit south of Saskatoon. 9:58. I'm Brian Winnegans. Thanks to Durand, Arkansas School Superintendent Ryan Nelson and Wisconsin 10th State Senator Rob Staff Schultz for joining us today. Now, if you missed either one of those interviews, they're available on our podcast. Just go to realcountry1430.com, go to the podcast page, and you can find both of those interviews there. Happy National Sour Candy Day. This is Brianna's favorite day. She loves sour candy. Every flavor combination out there creates the dazzling taste sensation. She likes especially the sweet and then turning into a zap of sour. So there you go. Have yourself a heap and helping a sour candy today. It is better than sour milk, that's for sure, on this National Sour Candy Day. Don't forget the ribbon cutting ceremony for the Tarrant Park Pool is coming up here at 10:30. National World News from ABC Radio News is coming up next on Real Country 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mindovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM Translator, W297CH, Durand. I'm Brian Winnekins. Hey, make it a great Friday.
Sherry Preston, the House passing the bill, pulling back $9 billion in federal funding that had already been allocated for international health and for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. The House also set to sign the Genius Act.